This is Dan Collymore, and you're listening to the B2 Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the V2 Football Podcast. I'm Chris Lappin and I'm joined by Peter Prickett.
Hi guys.
We're delighted to be joined on the line by Leyton Orient Academy coach Omar Reza. How are you doing this evening, Omar?
Great, thank you. Yourselves?
I'm very well, thanks.
So, how old were you when you first started to coach?
I started really coaching when I was about 28, 29, when I came back from Turkey after playing the Super League. Then I came back and I played for Salisbury, moved to Salisbury, and you know the option came along to start my UEFA B. My UEFA B at the time. I might have even been my level two. But anyway, so I started one of them, I can't remember. And I was coaching when I was done the Academy Boys at times over on Astro. That was it. So at the age of 28, 29, really, I've been coaching since properly. I'd like to think I've covered sort of a range of ages from young, you know, in the 60s now, right to first team, and now doing the 18s at Orient. So what's that been, about 7 years now?
And what first got you interested in the coaching side of things?
I think it was just a normal transition. It was, you know, I was playing, coming to the point where I was thinking, you know what, I need to start thinking about what I'm going to be doing after playing football. And I've always had a good relationship with players, you know, at the team I've been at. I've always had a good relationship with youngsters, especially as well, you know. And it was just a natural progression, really.
Along your coaching journey, are there people who you think have really helped to guide you along this path?
I wouldn't say I've had people that's helped me guide me along the path. I've had coaches, you know, I've been at a few clubs. I've worked with a lot of managers, I've worked with, you know, foreign managers. I went on loan at a young age, at 19 years old, I went to Holland and played at Den Haag, I worked under Andre Hoekstra. I've worked under Sebastian Lazzaroni, who was like the Brazilian international assistant manager when they won the World Cup. I've worked under Vahid Halihodzic, who's Bosnian, who is now, I think, the World Cup, who was Ivory coach manager not long ago. And the whole range of different coaches growing up and the senior level. And I think if there's anything that I've taken, I think it would be how to and how not to treat players, you know. I think that's the biggest quality I've got as a coach. And it's something that I will always have, eventually, hopefully, when I become a first team manager somewhere. I will always have that. I think it's one of them, you know, you have experiences in on your journey as a player that maybe you take and you take forwards, and experiences that you've witnessed with coaches, and you say, you know, I wouldn't want to treat my players that way. So things like that really have helped me in my journey when it comes to coaching. But I wouldn't say no one's ever really pushed me into coaching and said, oh, you should do coaching or anything. No one really had that.
Of these managers and coaches that you've worked with, how much of what you did with them at a first team level has transferred into what you do with young players?
Like I say, there's lots of things that I've taken from managers that I would say that I wouldn't take into coaching players at senior level and at youth level. But there's so much, you know, especially tactically. I think I've played in a variety of countries. I've played in Holland, like I said, I've played in Turkey. I've played here, I've played under different managers, and I've taken a little bit from all of them when it comes to what we've got success from. And I've tried to implement that tactically with players, and I think we've seen a lot of success from it. And in general, really, you know, like I say, I definitely take, for me, coaching is more, and managing is more about like, managing the players and being on a level with the players. That makes them relaxed. You know, players have to be relaxed. Players have to know the limit as well of where they can take you, and they have to know that there's the right time to be disciplined. Well, you should always be disciplined, but there's always, you know, they have to know they're in an environment where everything has a purpose, if you know what I mean, and there's a reason behind everything. And I feel that I take that with any player or any player that I'm coaching with senior, even now when I'm Orient, I get to take boys that are not playing the first team. I just feel I have that, I'm on a level with them that, you know, makes them comfortable, and I think that's important. It's an important quality to have.
Would you say that part is becoming even more important now? Because coaching, the way that modern coaching is looked at, and the way that we are educated, it's that what happens on the training pitch or in even on the game day, that's only a part of it. There's a whole world around it.
Massively. I mean, we, like I say, that, you know, we as coaches now, we work on the psych corner, the psychological corner, and the social corner. It's a massive part of the game, and it's a massive part of players that has been sort of brushed aside for a long, long time. And it's important that we understand, like you say, that it's not just about what they're doing with their performance, with their feet on the training pitch. There's so many other factors. You have to recognise when somebody's not feeling good. You have to recognise when somebody needs a little bit of guidance or needs a bit of help. Or you have to recognise when you have to create scenarios for them to get the best out of them. These things, yeah, it's opened up a massive path for coaches to develop their coaching strategies, and it helps the players at the same time. But what we don't want to do is totally come away from the fact that, you know, hard work on the training ground is paramount to being a good footballer as well. You know, so you need that mix needs to stay consistent and equal.
Which bit is harder? Do you find is it harder managing that psych and sociological corners, or is it actually the technical and tactical side of things and your sessions?
I think it just depends on what player you've got, really. Because, like you say, you've got a wide variety of player. You know, some might be weak in the social and psych corner, some might be weak in the technical corner. So you have to make sure, or tactical. So you have to make sure that you cover, like I said, every corner equally to make sure that the whole group is getting what they need and being able to recognise it early and implement a suitable solution or structure to make sure that they're all being developed the right way. But it's a tough one, though, especially with, like, if you're looking at youth football now, especially with A-teams now, the PMA and all the feeling, EPPP, you know, they want players to be out on the pitch a certain amount of time, they want players to be getting the other corners for a certain amount, it's trying to fit everything in with good quality and good substance, which is important, which is really tough, especially for us coaches, because we're having to juggle certain things to make sure that we're covering every part. Sometimes you could possibly say that it's a little bit thin. You know, we just don't have enough time in the day or in the week to be able to do it all. But we are working hard towards trying to get it all right.
I'm sure a lot of people have heard of the EPPP and the Elite Player Performance Plan, but is it plan or program?
Sorry, say again?
EPPP, is it Elite Player Performance Plan or Elite Player Performance Program? It's program, isn't it?
I think it's program, yeah.
I'm sure most people will have heard of that, but I'm not sure that everyone will know what PMA is. I wonder if you could just briefly explain that.
The PMA is a system in which players have their reviews put on, their match analysis, their schooling, their education, their attendance, session plans go on the PMA for the boys to look at, for other coaches to look at, for it to be vetted by the league to make sure that everything's being done properly. Basically, it's a catalogue. It's a log of everything that we're doing with the players, individual objectives, match objectives, team objectives, individual analysis, reviews, and just a whole log of what we're doing.
It's a really useful resource, and the FA have tried to almost mimic it with Hive, but it's very time consuming. I've spoken to some coaches who, although they understand and appreciate it, they resent it in many ways because it takes so much of their time that they think they can be using elsewhere and feel like they're almost having to do things three times.
Yeah. Well, that is the case probably with it. But like we say, there is a purpose to it. I think it's more difficult for the coaches who are not full-time, are part-time, coming in and earning whatever money they're earning, very little money they're earning, and having to do the PMA, having to make sure that all their sessions ready to go, having to make sure they get up all that. It's a lot of work that they're having to do for the money that they're earning. And I know we could say, you know, people are doing it for the love of the game, but that is something maybe that needs to be reviewed. You know, what players, I mean, for us, it's not too bad. We're full-time coaches. We're working. Yes, we do work hard, but at least, you know, you're working, you know, for suitable money, I suppose. But it is, you know, it is tough. There is a lot of work to do and to be done, but it's, you know, it's just part and parcel of the job.
Now, and the question could be, what do you want our coaches doing? Do you want our coaches sitting in front of laptops filling in forms, or do you want them out there coaching?
PMA is something that's done, especially for our part-time coaches, when they go home. You know, they finish their sessions, they go, it's not like they've got to sit around doing the PMA and they can't get on the training ground because of it. You know, it's more time-consuming because it takes time out of their day. Basically, they're working still to do the PMA and not really getting paid to do it, if you know what I mean. But it's, I could say, I am out on the training ground full-time. I get out on the training ground. It's not a massive deal, but I don't know. Maybe it's something that could be done in a different way. I'm not sure, but it's, I'm doing it. You get on with it. You get used to it. It becomes part of your everyday work.
And your day-to-day work is with which age group?
It's with the under-18s. I'm also PDP, so professional development phase. So I deal with under-17s to under-21s.
You're getting ready for the first team.
Yeah, it's sort of right in that middle. So if we've got boys out on loan now, for instance, we've got three or four out on loan who are in between, because we don't have a 21s. We've only got an 18, so if they're not in the first team after 18, they're training, or they might train with the first team, or they might train with us, or we might get them out on loan, so I'm arranging fixtures for 17s, like 21s fixtures. So all that sort of stuff as well, having to deal with all of that, the admin side of the game when it comes to trying to create more opportunities for development with that age range from 17 to 21. So yeah, it's a busy role, but it's something that I enjoy.
Many consider this age group now to be key. Before, we talked about the golden age, the 9 to 12 years old, but now everyone seems to be suggesting, well, the talent is there, it's when they hit this 17 to 21 that they fail to keep on. What sort of things are you doing to help your players actually make that leap?
Well, like I just said, we've gone from 17 to 18 in the scholarship, where we've got 2 years of basically development, full on development, where we've got a lot of time with the boys. They've got a games program where they're playing games at FA Youth Cup and normal league games. So they've got that, they've got their individual objectives, and we try to create for them so they start to get an understanding of what they need as players themselves. So a little bit of ownership or self-ownership, understanding what they need to work at. Structured plans we've got in place, analysis to help them with seeing the game, because we know there's different sorts of different types of learners now, visual, audio, so we are trying to cover every base, kinesthetic, whichever one you want to call it. We are trying to cover everything for them to be the best they can be. With the boys that are just old enough now, just come out of the youth team, we send them out on loan if we need to. So like I said, we've got four boys playing at Ryman North, Ryman Prem, Conference South level, so they're getting experience playing against seasoned players who are old, playing against men. We're giving them the opportunity to train with the first team, where they bounce in and bounce out. Some of them have been on the bench this year. We've had six or seven involved with the first team. And on top of that, obviously the education side of it is paramount, but we make sure that they, I think sports science, that they study, and they've got something to fall back on. So I think that we are trying to cover everything, but it's very important at the same time that, you know, for me, I didn't feel I started really developing until I was 23 years old as a player, you know, men many factors. I thought when I got to 23, I moved abroad then from West Ham. I went to Cambridge for a year, League One. And then after that, I scored the first 20 goals that year. And then I moved abroad to Turkey, the Super League, only after 7 years. And I really didn't feel that until I got to that 23, I was really feeling like, I'm finally ready to compete, with these people. So 21s is a good age. Obviously, we've got under 23s now, haven't we, in general? So now I'm trying to give boys more time to develop. But then there's a problem where we're saying, is it competitive enough at 23? So it's more like it's just a development game. There's no real kick to the games anymore either. We've got to just try and get it right as best we can.
How hard is recruitment in the catchment area then? Do other clubs get first pick on the players?
Obviously, we've got clubs around us, you've got Tottenham, you've got Arsenal, you've got all these clubs, you've got Mill, even the clubs in the south of the water, like Millwall and people like that. But we actually, I think we get a lot of good players, we do have to sometimes play second fiddle to those clubs, and we end up having a look at those players that have been released down the line. From those clubs. But to be honest with you, most of the time when we've had a look at players, there's not been too much difference between the players that we've got. I think the difference is with the big boys is that there's two or three or four players that make a difference within these squads or these teams. And in general, we compete very well with these Cat 1s and Cat 2 teams. in general, we get a lot of players coming in. Our recruitment side of it is good. We give boys opportunities, local teams to come in. We get teams in regularly on our training days, whether it be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday or Thursday, or even Friday. We play friendlies against teams that are doing well in the area, or we think there's a player in a team that's doing well. We get them in, we play, and we pitch them up against the boys we've already got. So there's always competition there. There's always a chance for people to come in. They get chances. They come in for 6-8 weeks, trials. Decisions are made. But I think in general, we've got a good sort of cycle of boys coming in. So it's not a closed shop at all. It's very open to, it's our job as an academy, as a club, to try and find a group of players and make them better than what they are as well.
So on a personal level, what's the plan for the future? Are you hoping to get involved in academies at Premier League level, or do you want to get back into management?
To be honest with you, I'm enjoying my time with these. We've got a great crop of 18s at the moment. I had the 16s last year, and they've come into this year, 6 or 7 of them. We've got boys from the year before that are now second year scholars that are very strong. We started the season very well. I think we won 7-7. It might be 6-6, I'm not sure. I can't remember now. And they're good, honest, hard working boys, and I'm enjoying my time at the club. I get on with all the staff above me. All the staff below me. I think I'm working hard toward becoming, a better coach, a better manager, hopefully one day. But I suppose who knows, if you're doing well, I suppose you get opportunities. Eventually I do want to be a league manager, and try and be a top manager. That's my aspirations, that's what I'm working hard towards. I'm 37 now, so I've still got time to learn from people around me, people above me, and just want to keep working hard, basically, and that's what I'm looking to do.
So before you finish, do you want to plug your social media?
Do I want to plug my social media?
Yeah.
What's that? What's my social media? What, Twitter?
Your Twitter, yeah.
if it helps, I'm on Twitter.
Thank you. I'll put the link in the description so anyone can follow you. So I've really enjoyed speaking to you today. I'm sure Peter has as well.
You too.
And I'd love to have you on again in the future.